Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast for adults. You are listening to a weekly publication, produced every Friday morning. The Kinky Cast is heard in over 150 countries. This is our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today, we present episode 294, My Lady Jet, 70-year-old, sensualist. Don't forget to stop by our webpage for information about this show and others. KinkyCast.com. Here's your host, Woody.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. We have a very interesting guest on the show today, and we'll allude to what's going on in just a moment. I want to remind listeners that we are going to be in San Francisco at the Folsom Street Fair. Come visit us. We are going to be walking around man-on-the-street interviews on the day of the fair. Please come and say hi. You can't miss us. And meanwhile, from London originally, we have Milady Jet. How are you?
I'm doing just great, thank you very much. Full of the joys of spring.
Ah, yes. You have jetted all around the world, and we find you in Austin, Texas.
That's where I've landed up, slowly chasing the warmer climes, or basically getting away from snow and ice after migrating down from Chicago.
Yeah, that is a big difference in a Austin winter and a Chicago winter.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm the only person out driving in the very little ice we've had here in Austin. There was only one other car I saw on the road one day, and that was a police car. They just don't know how to drive in ice down here.
They don't, and so stay away from them is the safe way to drive there.
Exactly.
Listeners may be wondering why we have this lovely lady on the phone with us today. Well, in the KinkyCast research and development team, in other words, combing through FetLife, we found Milady Jet, and she is a very interesting person. She has exuding sexuality, which is a wonderful thing, and she's been doing this for a while. You have turned 70 years old this year.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
70 years young, pardon me.
Yes, 70 years young, and you're still kinky after all these years, I believe the song goes.
I'm still exploring and hope to find lots of new things yet to try.
Let's rewind. You were raised in the hippie movement and that sort of thing around London.
Nope, a little further north, 60 miles north.
Ah, let's see, Cambridge?
Just to clarify there, from Cambridge.
Ah, see, I do know my England.
I should have pinpointed 60 miles north-northeast if I was being really specific. But
if you're being that specific. As you grew up in the rather liberal hippie mindset.
No, I was of that mindset. I grew up with very, very conservative parents. Well, one labor father and one conservative mother, which made for an interesting upbringing because they canceled each other's vote every time. But I went to a very, very posh private school because I got a scholarship there. Which was also interesting because I was very poor and went to a very rich school. But I've had a very interesting life. But I was exposed to all kinds of cultures, let me put it that way. Cambridge was a very, very diverse city, multicultural. We had foreign students coming in to learn English in the summer. Had a lot of administrators from other countries, and that's where I met an administrator from Riyadh. You know, I met all kinds of different people. So I had a somewhat more liberal upbringing or multicultural upbringing, I would say, than most folks in this country have, because I was exposed to different nationalities and religions, et cetera, and started studying all world religions from about the age of 11 to 15, just for interest.
That gives you a lot of breadth in your knowledge.
Well, I also have been practicing Wiccan all my life, so that makes me different, too.
Okay. When did your sexuality start to bloom?
Not really until I was 30. The age of consent was 16 in England, and still is to my knowledge, because you could get married at 16, so the age of consent was 16. So I started having sex at the age of 16. But I didn't have an orgasm until I was 30.
Ooh, yeah, okay, that's tough.
I had a short six-month marriage, not a legal one, but I had to, you know, we set the except I was going to get married and had my parents' permission, but then they decided to withdraw it at the last minute. So we went ahead and just did a hand fasting anyway and had my first child at 18. But yeah, I started young, but my first husband was inexperienced and my second husband was inexperienced. So it wasn't until I was divorced from my second husband in 78 that I found I was not only not rigid, which I thought was the case, but that I was multi-orgasmic. And I spent the next year dating all kinds of people. I probably went through 300, maybe 400 people and asked everyone what their fetish, what their fantasy was, and did my very best to fulfill them. And, of course, my own. So I had a wild and crazy year making up for the 10 years I missed out on.
So then what happened after that year?
I got into another relationship, and that lasted for a while. You know, I had some fairly decent lovers, but rather plain. And during that wild year, I was experimenting, and part of that was I was Mistress Sadie for a while and was a dominatrix, but just nowhere near to the extent I'd call a top now or, you know, dom now, but, you know, just mild cropping and flogging and spanking and whatever, you know, the lick the boots type thing, but nothing major. Yeah, just that was just a mild little thing. It was part of what I was experimenting with that year. And then I kind of set it aside, though. Even with my vanilla husbands, not the first one, but the second one on, I still would like to talk them into giving me a good spanking every once in a while, just an over-the-knee type. But I've always liked those and had those throughout my married life. But I kind of set aside the kink because I found other things to fulfill me within my relationships. I didn't really start blossoming again beyond, I would enjoy oral sex more than anal sex still, but I was practicing those with my various husbands just for, you know, a bit of change. But I didn't really get in, developed sexually until after my last husband died in 2010. I grieved him for about a year, year and a half, did a little dating, tried the Match, you know, and the Our Time senior dating sites, was having folks turn up in their 70s or that 20 years older than their pictures looked, or just couldn't even walk around the block. And that's not exactly what I'm looking for. I'm a rather active person. You know, I walk at least 6 to 10 miles a day, every day. And I need somebody who can keep up with me, take me out dancing, and who can fuck like a rabbit all night. What can I say?
And so you're looking at a younger population then?
Oh, yes. Well, right now I have... My stable has diminished. Right now I'm dating a 26-year-old, a 39-year-old, and a 41-year-old.
Goodness.
Those are my current lovers. And I have an occasional fuck buddy out on the East Coast who's 53, but I don't really count that. That's, you know, these are my in-town boys.
Mm-hmm. And so you give them a run for their money?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I can play for 4 or 5 hours easily.
Ooh. Yeah. All right.
These are just lovers. This is not getting into anything like singing at a party or anything like that. These are just lovers. I haven't had a top now, a regular top, since May. And quite honestly, that's something I enjoy. You know, playing bottom sometimes. Basically, because I'm lazy. You know, give me pleasure, I'll take it. But, you know, I am getting older and I can't talk for hours anymore. I wouldn't want to. You know, I just don't have that kind of energy. Or, you know, that's one of my physical limitations, which is what we'll get into, you know. But, yeah, but I'm still enjoying life to the max. And just, I get thousands of, well, I won't say thousands, but, well, I've got, you know, almost 1,500 followers. It got up to 1,499. I kept waiting and then a couple dropped off. Well, I haven't been posting anything for a few weeks because I've been basically under the weather for six weeks, something like that now. So my following is dropping. Sorry, guys, I'll be back soon, I promise.
We've got to reclaim our audience.
Yes, exactly, exactly. You know, the audiences are fickle. You know, they're going to go where there's action. And if, you know, if I haven't posted anything for a few weeks, obviously my followings will slow down to a trickle. But
some of your posts, I do have to say, caught my attention. I'm very into pumping and those sorts of things, and you seem to be a real master at it.
I figured out what works for me, that's for sure. Yeah, it's finding the right thing that fits your anatomy and knowing how long and what pressures and just getting there. I pretty much know my own body. That's one of the advantages to being an energy worker. You know, I can generally feel what's going on. So, yeah, I found exactly the right size cylinders. I wasn't making my own cups for a while, but I found that most of them are too shallow. That's ready made. That's why I use penis cylinders. They work better.
You pump to the point, you have a picture, your labial lips look like a rose.
Uh-huh.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, well, that's I think, a 3-inch or 2.5 or 3-inch cylinder, and it's just enough to bring it out. Yes. You know, about 20 to 30 minutes at no more than 7 on the outer scale of my brake bleed pump. You know, only the highest tech for me.
There you go.
Hey, why did they spend a lot of money for a stupid pump when you can just go to an auto parts store and get a brake bleed pump, which gives you a much better gauge and quick release? So, yep, that works wonderfully. But yeah, I enjoy pumping. I don't get as much out of it as my lovers do because it tends to dull the sensation in certain areas because of the fluid surrounding the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it makes you much tighter inside and shorter because I'm short anyway, having had a hysterectomy through the cervix. So I'm somewhat shortened in the vagina. But, you know, hey, we work with what we work with. You know? So no 13 inches for me. Thank you very much.
I know somebody that would say the exact same words for the same reasons, so.
Yes, exactly. Most of my sensitivity is within the first inch anyway. And my superb lover knows that, and he got me off. He gave me 5 beautiful orgasms last night, moving about 0.5 inch, you know, so we do quite well.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, we look back at this age, and we would say, if we knew back when we were 18 or 20, what we know now, we would have rocked the world.
Mm-hmm. For the last, I'd say, 30 years, it's been my joy to bless all the other women out there in the world by teaching everything that I know to a lot of young men. So there's going to be a lot of happy young ladies when the crop of men that I'm playing with now, or at least the 26-year-olds that I'm playing with now, are released around the world with the techniques they're learning from me. So enjoy it, world. I'm doing my part.
Train the youngins. That's a good thing.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I love a young pup with promise. And it's just so nice to see the looks on their face when they discover certain things.
This is something that the older people offer. Is a lifetime of experience and guidance.
Yes, exactly, which is why I am bombarded daily with messages from guys in their 20s. Though I should tell them that anybody who sends me a one-line message, "Hi, how are you?" are not going to get the response that if they'd taken the time to formulate a couple of paragraphs, let me have some insight into them, you know. That us older folks like a little more than, hey, wanna fuck. You know, I can't be bothered with somebody like that.
You know, it's kind of sorting the levels out. You know, the people that are just in it for instant satisfaction and don't want to put any time in it versus the ones that would be an interesting romp for a couple years.
Exactly. Exactly. So I will admit, if I've got the time, I do read the profile of everybody that contacts me. Mm-hmm. You know, if they comment on my pictures, especially if they send me a personal message and, you know, tell me a little bit about themselves. But I do take the time, and I can't understand why some people just see a picture, click on it, you know, click a like or something, without ever bothering to read my profile. Especially the people who send friend requests, because I put plainly on my profile, don't send me a friend request. And even just a hi, how are you, is not enough to qualify you. I keep my friends list very, very small because I don't want to be inundated with somebody else's feeds all the time. You know, if somebody wants to see my pictures, they can follow me. They don't have to be my friend. I don't have private pictures for friends. You know, I enjoy people enjoying my pictures, so I'm putting everything out there. I don't restrict things, except for these face pics. But anyway, I digress from where we're going.
Well, no, it's all good. Social media today is the Wild West, and it's crazy. The people,
it's crazy, yeah.
People are raging about things that they wouldn't rage to you in your face. You know, they hide behind a keyboard and say it.
Mm-hmm. A certain amount of anonymity is good, you know, especially up front. But I'll tell you, FetLife has opened up a whole world for me. It's absolutely wonderful. You know, it's allowed me to be able to express myself, to be able to share who I am and bring joy to other people, because that's what my life is about. I live my life to improve the life of, in some way, of every single person that I meet, even if it's only to smile at them and give them, you know, a hug, or just even somebody on the street you see who's kind of something along, just smile at them. Most people will smile in return and just be happier for that 1 second or 2 seconds in their life. That's what it's all about to me.
Well, a smile and happiness is what it's all about. If we go through the world being very dark all the time, it is going to affect our psyche.
For me, I've discovered that attitude is everything. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still 16 years old. I just wish my body would get with the program.
I hear you on that one.
I see every day as a child does, not childish, but childlike. When I wake up and think, oh, what a glorious day, what can I do today? Rather than, oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to deal with that traffic. Life isn't about that. I'm a half glass half full person, not a glass half empty. I'll always look on the sunny side of life, as Monty Python would say.
Monty Python, absolutely wonderful stuff. Unfortunately, the modern generation has probably not even seen it. It's been gone for quite a while, but it is available on DVDs.
Yes, it won't have quite the same political relevance as some of it, but then it was a different time.
It was a different time.
Yes.
And it was so political. It was very targeted at the events of the time.
But that, more so, of course, more relevant if you happen to be British, as I am. You know, so.
My father was in World War II in the RAF, and so he brought a lot of Britishisms to me.
Yes, but some of it does go over the heads of Americans because they just don't understand, if nothing else, the slang or, you know, just the relevance. But
I learned all the slang at a young age.
Well, I learned how to swear in many languages. Couldn't speak the languages, but, you know, we had an area in Cambridge where I grew up called the Mill Pond, where they would have punting on the river, et cetera. But it was a nice meadow in the middle of town where you could go and sunbathe in the summer when all these foreign students would be over learning English in the language schools in the summer. So it had all these men approaching us. So we learned how to tell them how to fuck off in all kinds of languages so they would get the message.
Fuck off. That's so British.
Or, you know, ching win what a pigu, which is kind of kiss my ass in Mandarin. Or what it was close as I can remember after 50 years or more.
Well, you had a fun life, goodness.
I do. I believe in enjoying it. You know, yeah, I've had some problems, you know, including, I mean, I had polio when I was younger. I had dysentery in my 30s. You know, I've had some major wacky things happen, but I don't let anything get me down. You know, it's, I've got a couple of broken bones in my life. And as I say, I've been riddled with arthritis since the middle of the 80s. And I just cope. You just deal with it.
Coping and keeping a sunny disposition is what it's all about. You know, what is the goodness that's going to come to me today? And I found you. So that is pretty cool. I'm pretty happy about that.
That's good. You know, it's just always looking upon things. When you can't do one thing, it's just making room in your life for finding something that you can do. And that's the way I've looked at it. For example, anal sex. I used to love anal sex. You know, and double penetration. And hell yes, I must admit I've enjoyed triple penetration. You know, when I went through trying stuff, I went through trying stuff. But, you know, anal sex is forever ruled out for me. And even doggy style, you know, it position, your rear entry position, can cause me extreme medical problems. So I have to say, sorry, but I can't do that anymore. When I was seeing, you know, as a bottom, I won't say sub because I'm too much of an alpha female to consider myself a sub, but I was a willing bottom because, you know, I like riding the fine edge between pleasure and pain and can transmute pain into pleasure and, you know, regularly having orgasms, but whilst, you know, being flogged or whatever. In fact, I have to have lots of drop cloths handy if I'm seeming because I'm a very wet one. But I've fried too many electrical toys. <I'm squirting laughs> <on them. laughs> but you know, just you find things that you can do to take the place of the ones that you can't do. So although I can't do anal sex anymore, the, you know, I found that, hey, I really like playing with electricity, and graduated from the tens to the violet wand and all kinds of other little things, you know. Enjoy being, you know, fire play, and, you know, there's always something new to try. There's still a lot of things that I haven't quite got around to, I'm sure, and I'm still looking. So, but I want to do it with somebody who knows what they're doing. You know, that's the thing. I had one person try sounding, and they just went from one size to the next, and then I was bleeding for days afterwards, and I thought, okay, they obviously weren't quite as experienced as they said they were. So now I'm very, very careful with things that can cause damage, especially at this point, being on blood thinners, I'm still willing to try something new. I'd like to do more rope work. I've only had one person do some rope work on me that I enjoy it a lot, but no, that's the thing, that people look at the 70-year-old and they, well, she won't want to be a rope bunny, you know, and obviously I'm not quite as cute as the young ones that they can tie up, so my play in that area has been restricted, but I generally can find lots of things that I still haven't tried, and if there's something I'm interested in, I see somebody really seems to specialize in that, then I contact them, say, hey, would you mind doing this for me? And I found if you ask, you generally get it. But if you're too timid to ask, you never will. If you're interested in something, say something. You know, just be a little cautious and make sure that the person actually knows what they're doing and has been doing it for a while. And then go for it, and then, you know, pass that knowledge on yourself if you like it. And I've always been of the mind to try anything twice, because the first time you might have preconceived notions that it's you know, it might affect you. So once you've got past that, then the second time you can actually find out whether you enjoy it or not, if you were kind of 50-50 the first time.
Yeah, I always said it a little bit differently. You probably fuck it up the first time is what I would say, but yeah.
That's true too, but well, it depends, you know, it depends on who's doing it. You know, that's, as I say, at these points, I'm not into trying something new with somebody who hasn't tried it first. You know, there's too much risk as we get older. So I'd rather indulge in something with an expert than a novice. You have, you know, it doesn't hurt to have a master and a novice in each activity, but just two novices together, just especially in some of the more risky play, like fire play, for example, or use with my magic wand. My violet one, not my magic wand. Forget that magic wand. I found it. I like the smaller vibrators better than the Hitachis, by the way.
Okay.
They've got some great ones out now that are, like, they're totally waterproof, and they've got the same kind of shape as the head, but they work much better and they fit better between the woman's legs. The other ones are just too big. So I haven't used my Hitachi in a couple of years.
I've ruined so many Hitachis from drowning.
Exactly. Go for the 13. You can get them like $13 on Amazon. They come in all different kind of colors. I personally like purple and black one. I can use keep different colors because I'm using them in different areas. You know, hey, just kind of helps keep track of what you're doing with which toy, if you know what I mean. It's like which fingers you're using for what. You don't go between the anus and the vagina with the same fingers. That's a no-no for women. You know, it gives us infections. So, yeah, you know, just these little tricks you learn over the years. That way, if I squirt on them, nope, doesn't fry them.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you bring a lot of life to play, and people really need to understand that. A cute little 18-year-old might be a lot of fun, but they haven't experienced a lot yet.
And they haven't trained their body. I mean, I have spent years tightening my vaginal muscles, which is why I can't understand why people like to stretch their vaginas and gape, etc. How the hell can you milk a cock properly, you know, if you can't squeeze from the base up and just take the full ripple effect? I mean, I've been practicing tightening my vaginal muscles for since I had my second child at 20. So I've been tightening and strengthening my vaginal muscles for over 50 years.
Let's hear it for Kegels.
Yes, for Kegels indeed, yes. And other practices too, you know, just practice does make perfect, or at least a hell of a better ride.
These are all great words of wisdom, and they all come with experience. And, you know, those are some things that, you know, I'd like our audience to really pay attention to. And let's start a program. Ask an old person.
Yes, ask an old person. We do have our, you know, our limitations, you know, for like myself with some physical limitations, but we've had experience of various different things in our lives, and we can definitely pass on that knowledge and techniques. I mean, I'm still learning. I didn't even learn about the various parts of the clavicle, you know, all the different associations between the various parts of the clitoris and the different orgasms that are available by massaging different parts. I mean, I can massage deep into the bulbs of the clit and the legs of the clit and have fantastic orgasms without ever touching the glands. In fact, when I'm masturbating, I never touch the glands, you know, what most people think of as the clit, because I don't need to, because I get much deeper orgasms without it.
You need to teach this in a program.
Well, I've got one video out, which I'm showing and demonstrating. I've put pictures up of showing the different parts of the clitoris and how to, you know, how, where they're located and roughly how to massage them. I teach any, well, most of my lovers don't know this, they already know it, but the young ones I do teach and show them how, if you do this. And what a lot of folks don't understand is that what feels good on the female will also feel good on the equivalent part of the male. I mean, the parts that I can touch that will stimulate without, it's not near the penis, but I can actually affect a guy's orgasm from touching different parts within the body, which we equate to where my bulbs are. So there were different, I'm still learning different techniques myself, but passing them on.
Well, that's great news. So are these videos available?
They're on my profile.
Okay, on your profile. Well,
yeah, they're just some of the short, and they're not particularly long, but they're on there. And I've always been pretty open about if anybody has a question, I'll be glad to answer it. Or I try and show people what they like, but I also try and teach people too, because that's, I have long discussions with some people. I have one fellow, he's a Pennsylvania, I think. I'm not going to give anything away, but I've been teaching him a lot over private message back and forth, just trying to help him out understand the female anatomy and how to get the most out of it and how to give his partner the most pleasure. So that's what it's about. Pass on the techniques. I mean, make the world at Kinky a happy place for all, as far as I'm concerned.
Those are words of wisdom, and on that, I want to thank you for joining us on the KinkyCast today. You're a wealth of information, and we will have your profile information on the show page so that listeners can come check it out.
Well, thank you very much. Wonderful talking to you. Anytime.
You have been listening to episode 294 of the KinkyCast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. Join us next week when we present Abby Wants It.